Hello and welcome to our Heart Women's Afternoon Tea online event. It's so wonderful to have you here with us. My name is Bridget and I hope that wherever you are that you are blessed today. Today is all about encouraging you in your faith. This is exactly the reason why Heart started in the first place. Rosemary really was looking for encouragement in her faith and knew that there must be other women all around the world who would need this encouragement as well. So today we are here to give you that. You are not alone on this walk. We are here with you. So we hope that today you feel encouraged and you feel loved by participating in this online event. Shortly, we're going to be joined by Rosemary, and she's going to give us a message about how Jesus can be the hero of our lives every day and how we can be heroes in our world. So today, I pray that this message would bless you exactly where you are at today. And then together, we're going to have a time of prayer as well, where we are able to sit and think about and meditate on what it is that we feel like the Holy Spirit is saying and what God might be saying to you today. Now, you never know what is going to happen, so make sure you are ready to join us and to participate in this fully. Whatever you have going on in your life, why don't you set that aside right now? If you've got a Bible or if you've got a notebook or something that you can take notes on, then I encourage you, quickly run and grab it and be ready to take notes, because you never know how God is going to speak or when He's going to speak. I pray that today you feel encouraged in your faith and that today's message blesses you right where you're at. Enjoy.
A few weeks ago, the Lord, I felt, gave me this scripture verse, and I've been pondering upon it and meditating upon it like our Mother Mary asks or encourages us to, because that's what she did. And I pray that you not hear my words, but you hear what the Spirit might be sharing with you, because this is all about you. It's about you as a woman and you as a Christian woman. And let us have our hearts open, because it comes from our heart. Yes, we want to hear intellectually with our minds, but it's our hearts that gets triggered to love the Lord more, to work more passionately for Him, to love Him and serve Him, and to be the best that we can be. So the scripture is in John's Gospel, chapter 15, starting at verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." So there's two aspects to this section of scripture, and I'd like to share on the second one first, and then we'll go to the last bit. And even though the last is last, it's the most important bit. But I'm doing it the kingdom way. The first will be last, and the last will be first. So we're going to share the first thing first, that actually is the most least important part of the scripture, and then we'll share the most important part. We know that Jesus has asked us to love God and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And here Jesus is encouraging the same thing, but he's also saying, "I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends." So if Jesus is saying, "You are now my friend," he's also saying that our neighbour is our friend as well. If Jesus is telling us, "I want to have this intimate relationship with you," he is saying that he wants us to have intimate relationships with our neighbours, with our friends, with who God has sent us to be our Christian friends. Jesus is the ultimate example. Because what does Jesus as a friend do? He loves us unconditionally and is loyal to us. We can reject him, but he never, ever rejects us. As soon as we have a glance of, Lord, forgive me, or anything towards him, he's there. Scripture after scripture, story after story, parable after parable tells us that. That Jesus loves us unconditionally. He even loves our enemies. He encourages us to love our enemies because that's what he does. He listens to us. Oh my goodness, does he listen to us? And he responds to us. He listens to us as a friend, but he responds to us as God. Because Jesus, remember, was human and divine. So he listened in the humanity of who he was to us, but he responded out of his divinity. He gave us the wisdom that came from God the Father, because he says, everything that comes from the Father comes from, you know, it comes from me that comes from the Father. We are, my Father and I are one. So we can trust in God's words that they come from God the Father. And the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. He's like the worker that God left, that Jesus left behind to help us, to give us the strength, the courage, to allow us to use the fruits of the Spirit that grow and develop in within us if we claim Jesus as Lord and Saviour. So we all have that ability. Jesus is committed to us even when we stumble. Same as loyal. But he's committed to us so much because he committed himself to us on the cross, to everyone. Everyone he died for. Those who were good and those who were bad. He knows us. He knows us so well. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Often he'll say, oh, you know, the Holy Spirit will come along sometime and he might say, you need to work on that area. God's done it to me. And I've gone, God, I've already dealt with that. What are you talking about? And then he shows me the same area that I thought I'd dealt with that I hadn't dealt with properly, or not yet, or not fully, that God wants me to deal with, to face, to be honest, to be sincere, to ask the Lord to come and heal me, to ask for his grace, because it's not us. It's nothing to do with us. It's all about him, all about how he works in our life, all about the strength and the courage and the kindness and the love that he gives to us. Tell me, be truthful. Are there days when you get up out of bed and don't want to see anybody? You can't face the world, but you've got to go to work. You've got to be with your family. You've got to, you know, go and do the chores that you might need to do or what's laid out before you. Well, we need to get the strength from God. God's always there for us, but we forget to ask him, Lord, I can't do today, but I can do it with you. Would you give me the strength to walk those steps? Would you give me the hands to love, to serve? Would you give me the wisdom that I need because I need to share with people? You, Jesus. It all comes from him. And if we think we do it, you know, on our days, on our best days, we do nothing compared to what God can do in us and through us. Jesus draws us to himself. He says, I'm your friend. He deepens, he desires this deepening relationship with us. He wants to know and love us more, and he wants us to love and know him more. It's a two-way relationship. And so often Jesus is way more giving to me than I'm giving to him. But Jesus then asks us to do this with each other. You know, I wrote down some things that women do with their friends. They love, they laugh, they giggle, they hug, they sigh, they sob, they have a shoulder to cry on, they get courage, they have this gut feeling within them that they sometimes share with others. They have this happiness, this joy, these memories. You can look into someone's eyes and you know, you don't need the words. When you hear their voice, you know. We can breathe our friendship in. We have this beating within our hearts. Those who are walking with us now, those who have walked with us in the past or into the future, God has many friendships for us. A Benedictine nun known by the name of Joan Chichester said, "A friendship binds past and present and makes bearable the uncertainty of the future." And you can go, "Well, my life's not that unbearable." But there are times when it is. There are times when we need a shoulder to cry on. There are times when we need that hug. There are times when we need those good memories. And Jesus said, "Well, turn to your friends. I'm your friend." He's the ultimate friend. But he was also telling, he was sharing this to his disciples. Be friends. Don't just be followers of me. Be friends to each other. The Christian community needs to be friends to each other. Women especially need to be friends to each other. And maybe there's only one little thing that you connect with. Maybe you're not like Ellen and Erica that know each other very well. But you can be even sometimes a casual friend, and that's important. But God definitely desires us to have these deep Christian friendships, because you share you. You share the weaknesses and the strengths. A friendship is a close relationship between two or more people who care about and support each other. That's from the dictionary. Oh my goodness, you overlay that with Christian thinking and Jesus' love, and how much can friendships be? We have mutual respect. We share common interests and experiences. We enjoy spending time together. It says in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one, because when one falls, someone else can pick the other up. Have you ever fallen by yourself? You might have literally fallen over and there you are all by yourself. Or fallen just in life, in feeling dejected and low, not coping. Have you reached out for a friend? Have you dialed their phone number? Have you messaged them? Because sometimes it's your instigation of doing that then they go, wow, this person desires me to be their friend, and you've reached out to them, they reach out to you. That's what Jesus did. Think about it. Jesus loved us first. Jesus called us friends first. So if we're going to be Jesus followers, you be the first to reach out. You might feel lonely because I don't have a friend. You be the first to reach out. And it is amazing how people will reach out back to you. I'm in year 7 at school, and there's a girl that I always thought was very snooty and up herself. So I never really spoke to her very much, did I? She broke her leg badly, and she was in hospital for quite a while. And the teacher, what does the teacher do? Let us write letters of friendship to this girl. And I sat down and thought, really? But I was honest, and I said to her, I always thought you were snooty and up yourself. That's not a very good way to be a friend, is it? But then I said, but I would like to know you more. I would like to truly know who you were, and I feel sorry that you're missing so much of school and friendships and things because you've broken your leg so badly. And the teacher sent them off. 2 months later, this girl rocked up to school, still in crutches. And I was shocked. She was the first person that made a beeline to me and said, I would like to be your friend. I've always wanted to be your friend, but you felt like so out there. And it was me being honest with her that started that friendship. You know, many of us are lonely. We don't seem to connect with people our same age, our similar interests. We might nod to people, but that's different to being a true friend. Can I encourage you? You reach out. You go in, the person who nods to you. Don't just nod. Go over and share with them, tell them your name, start the conversation, and see how God blesses us with greater friendship, true friendship, deep friendship. It was always Jesus who reached out. Zacchaeus sitting up in a tree, it's Jesus who reached out to him and said, come down, I'm coming to your house. Maybe be a good friend and invite yourself over to their house. You know what I mean. You know what a friendship does? It tells us that we're needed. We tell others that we know they're needed too. Life, it tells us that life is valuable and indispensable and irreplaceable and is vital. How many people do you think might be saved if we could tell them that they were our friend? Saved from physical harm, saved from spiritual harm, because maybe they might ring you or reach out to you. And you can give Jesus to them. You can encourage them. You can love them. You can hug them. There are many who don't want to be hugged. Not because they don't want to be hugged. It's because they've had so much pain in their life, they just keep everyone at a distance. You can still love through that distance. A message. I care about you. I've seen you at church. I know who you are. I've been praying for you. It encourages every person. If I have the love of a friend, that friend is indispensable, and a friend can depend on me and I can depend on that friend. That's what true friendship is. I've not watched a program, but I've seen the ads. Housewives of Sydney or Housewives of Hollywood or whatever they are. Firstly, they're not housewives. Secondly, oh my goodness, they're not friends. They stab each other in the back. They up each other or try to all the time. That's not friendship, but that's what the world portrays to others to be like. I often feel like my children and my grandchildren, I don't want them to be like that. I want them to be the most loving, you know, encompassing person they can be. We want to be known, but we have to know others too. And the spiritual side of knowing is so important because it's us. It's our soul, it's our spirit, it's our heart, it's who we are. When we lose a friend, we grieve. Now, we can have friends that are our family members. I am friends with my children. I am friends with my grandchildren on a different level. But I also need to have other women friends encouraging me, calling me on, saying, Rosemary, come on, you can do better than that. God is with you. God is with us. I'm praying for you. You've got a hard, you know, struggle at work. Your boss is unkind. I'm with you. I'm praying for you. I cannot be there in person, but I am with you. Just knowing that gives us strength and courage. You know, our husbands are often our best friends too because they know us through and through. But women need other women. You know, a friend is someone who has a lantern in hand. They walk by the light within us and within herself. Our weaknesses and our strengths are seen, but that is important. Joseph Joubert said, those who have not the weakness of friendship have not the strength. If you are not vulnerable to somebody and show your true self, then they don't know your true self. They don't know that in certain areas you're weak, that you need help in certain areas, that you need extra love. But if you show your weakness, the strengths also come out. What does Jesus say? When you are weak, I am strong. So when we are weak, Jesus, the Lord, is strong in us, but he also sends us friends to help us. He never just said it's just God. God partners with humanity. Why did he come down on the earth? One, to save us so that we could have eternal life with him, but that we would partner with him like he planned from the beginning. You know, in the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve were walking in the Garden of Eden, he got them to name the animals. God didn't name the animals, Adam did. He partners with us in life. He desires to walk with us every day. Are we spending that time with Jesus, our friend, every day? Do we share with him everything, or do we hide? Do we think we'll just close it in the cupboard? You know, like when visitors come over and you hide everything in the cupboard, you know, all the mess? Jesus knows. He loves that dirty cupboard just as much as he loves the clean cupboards. What stops friendship? Firstly, Aristotle stated, a friend is like a single soul dwelling in two bodies. It's so true. When your friendship becomes so close, you know the other person. You don't even have to sometimes say the words. You look into their eyes and you know what they're thinking. You know what they're saying. For any of you who don't know, I have an identical twin sister. I know on the phone when Julie's not doing well. She doesn't say anything. It's in the way she speaks, and I'll say, what's up? Because I know her and she knows me. That friendship needs to be like that. Because what did Jesus say? I no longer call you servants. I call you my friend. He no longer calls us just followers of Jesus. He calls us his friends. And so he wants the Christian community to have friendship within it. Yes, in there might be a few casual friends, but in there should be some intimate friends that know you and you know them. What stops friendship? Lack of honesty. Lack of not being open. Don't want to be vulnerable. Can I just encourage you? This type of friendship is true and loyal. You can be vulnerable. In any friendship, you get hurt because people are people. They don't know they're sometimes saying something inappropriately or something that hurts you because they don't know about your full past yet. But be honest and say, that hurt me. Because that brought back a memory. They didn't know about the memory of something. That hurt me quietly, not in front of everyone. That hurt me, but, you know, I know I have to still deal with that. Would you just not say that to me? Or help me work through the past memory that did hurt me? Jesus sent us people in our lives for a purpose. Everybody is for a purpose and a time. So don't listen to what the world says, where it says humility makes you spineless and weak. It does not. Humility is knowing who you truly are, your strengths and your weaknesses. We've lost a sense of being honest, of what we need to be not independent, but dependent upon people. And not so dependent that we can't stand on our own two feet, because God wants us to stand with him on our own two feet. But he sends us friends to depend upon, to rely upon in time of need. Because what did Jesus say from the beginning? And I love this. Women was made to be a helper, a companion. We sometimes think it's just a helpmate for men, and it is. But what about the helpers and companions for other women? We're helpers. We have this nurturing spirit within us that God put us there. We're sensitive to the spirit more than men. A wonderful gift, and use it well. We see things and notice things because God's put it in our heart to see and notice things. Think about Mary. It didn't say that Joseph meditated. He dreamed. God spoke to Joseph in dreams. But what did Mary say? I meditate and ponder upon these things in my heart. That's what women do. So use that pondering and meditation. Use your heart for God's good. And ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do here? May I be your hands and feet. May I be Jesus to the world. And the world starts with our family and our friends and our Christian community. Because if we don't get it right here, how can we get it right out there? So we heart sisters, that's what we call ourselves. We don't need to be the perfect mother, the perfect wife, the perfect cook, the perfect multitasker, the perfect professional worker. We don't need to be self-sufficient, the perfect handy woman. No, we just need to be ourselves. Let us be the women that other women seek out for friendship, knowing our strengths and our weaknesses. It is not so much our friends' help that helps, but the confidence of their help, knowing that they're there for you if you do make that phone call, reach out to them, call out for help. It's the confidence of knowing they're there. Let's now go to the most important part of this scripture, where Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." That's what Jesus did for us. He laid down his life for us. Look at the cross. Look to the cross. He laid down his life for us. In the Bible, there's many stories of friendships. We have King David and Jonathan. If you ever go and read about their friendship, it's beautiful. It's loyal. There's a friendship I want to share about, Ruth and Naomi. And I love wanting to share about it because Ruth is the daughter-in-law and Naomi is the mother-in-law. How many times in the world do you hear, "Oh, my mother-in-law"? Oh, true. And I don't know what your mother-in-law is like, if you have one. And maybe they're hard to deal with sometimes. But this Ruth saw something in her mother-in-law. When you see them, when the story arrives, they've both lost, Naomi has lost her husband and her two sons. And one of the sons was married to Ruth. So there's grief. You see them when they're grieving. And Naomi is in such a bad place, and you know about it when she basically pushes her daughter-in-laws away. "Go back to your families. Go. I'm going back to my family," because no one's left here, because they'd moved away from where they originally came from. And she goes, "I'm going back there because maybe someone in that in the family will look after me." You also get a depiction of what Naomi's feeling like, because when she does arrive back, some people come and say, "Naomi," and she goes, "No, don't call me that. Call me Mara," bitter. She's feeling very bitter, very low. "Lord, why did you take away my whole family that supports me?" Remember, in those days, the men supported the women. These women were destitute. They had now no families. One of the daughter-in-laws, from the mother-in-law's encouragement, went back to her family. But Ruth says, "No, I'm going to go with you." And I love what she says. What does she say? "Your people will be my people and your God will be my God." It gives you an inkling again of how Naomi must have been when she wasn't grieving. She must have been a wonderful mother-in-law. She must have been a wonderful woman of God, because Ruth, who didn't know God before, the God they knew before marrying Naomi's son, was falling in love with this God. So she was saying, "Your God will be my God." Naomi, what a great example to Ruth. And this friendship grew up between them, where they cared about each other. Ruth was there for Naomi when she was low and bitter. Now, don't you think Ruth would have been grieving too? But it seems like Ruth grieved differently and didn't get bitter, not like Naomi. And Ruth was there for her, because what do friends do? They are there for you when you are weak, when you are struggling, when you are maybe low and bitter and depressed. And it was Ruth who brought and helped Naomi in that time. Ruth loved Naomi. This friendship grew and developed. They're not the same age. They're not the same culture, remember? Ruth was in the place that they'd gone to and the son married. Different cultures, different experiences. So don't use an excuse of, I've got no one my age. I've got no one who comes from the Seychelles. I've got no one. No. You go be the friend to others and reach out to them and see how God blesses the friendship. But Jesus laid down his life for us. No greater love. No greater love. In another translation, it says, no greater love or commitment does God have, does Jesus have to us, than laying down his life for his friends. And it goes on to say, and it's gorgeous, I chose you. You do not choose me. I chose you. You know, he chose the disciple that betrayed him. Did God get it wrong? No. Because he chooses everyone. But it's our responsibility. Do we choose him back? What do we choose for our lives? And Judas chose accordingly. He chose us to be his friend, his special friend. Do you ever go in prayer and have needs before the Lord and say, Lord, my special friend? Don't you think that would tickle God? Wow, she's got it. I'm her special friend. I'm no longer a servant. I'm a friend, Jesus. And we be vulnerable as much as possible to him, as much as everything. And God will share with us, will reveal to us more and more of himself.
What an incredible message. And now it's our turn to reflect and think about how this applies to our life. We've got three questions that we want you to think about. Our first question is, do you find it difficult to be vulnerable and honest in your friendships? If so, why? And if not, why not? Our second question, what areas of your life could you be more Christ-like to others because he is the ultimate model of a friend? And our third question, share an experience of where a friend came to your aid and showed you love.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a God who loves us so deeply, so intimately. Thank you, God, that you first chose us, that you called us your friend. Lord, as we each wrote down our prayer needs before, Lord, you knew what we were going to write before we even put the pen to the paper. And Lord, you know those deep desires of our hearts that we really want, that we really need breakthrough in, that we need miracles, Lord. And maybe we didn't have the courage to write it down on this paper, Lord God, but you know what they are. And so right now, Lord, we pray for everything that we have written. Lord, we pray for those miracles that we need in our lives, those impossibles that we feel are impossible, but not with you, God. Lord, right now, I want to pray for the prodigals in our life. I want to pray for those maybe sons or daughters who are distant. I pray for those mums and dads who may be distant from us, our siblings, some friends, Lord, we pray for those in our lives who are gone, who maybe we don't talk to at the moment, Lord. We pray for your peace. We pray for breakthrough in those situations. We pray for your love to reign. We pray that you would call them back, Lord. Lord, I pray for the addictions that we have in our lives. Maybe that we have ourselves personally, Lord, or for those members of our family who are addicted to different things in their lives, Lord. I pray for breakthrough right now. I pray that you would make a way. I pray that you would provide every service that they need, Lord God. I pray that you would provide the people in their life that they need to talk to. I pray that you would change their hearts, that you would take that grip of that addiction away from them. We pray for your breakthrough, Lord God. Lord, there are many of us here today who are going through health battles. You know what they are, Lord. We pray right now for healing. Lord, we pray for medical staff who can point us in the right direction. We pray for that wisdom over those nurses and doctors and therapists who we see. We pray for the provision of correct information, of the right direction, Lord God. And we pray for strength for those of us going through health battle right now, Lord God, that you would come, that you would give us strength, and that you would give us peace. Lord, I pray for provision. I pray for provision in our finances, Lord. I pray for provision in workplaces, Lord, for new jobs for those of us who need it. I pray for placements that we need to do our pracs, Lord God. I pray for the provision of food, Lord God. For those who are in need right now, Lord Jesus, I pray for your provision. Lord, I pray for peace. I pray for peace in our hearts, Lord. We live in such a stressed, hurried world. And Lord, I pray right now that you would bring your peace, that it would come and sit in our lives, that we do not need to feel anxious, that whatever it is that is stressing us, Lord God, whatever that is giving us anxiety, that we could give it to you right now and that we would sense your peace. Lord, I pray for friendship. Lord, so many of us feel lonely. So many of us feel like we're going through life with no one. Lord, may we know that we have you. And Lord, may you also send us some friends, true friends. And as Rosemary said, those who we can be confident that we can turn to. I pray right now that you would put people in our paths that we would meet, that there would be conversations with people that we weren't expecting that may develop into a friendship, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would come and you would take away that weight of loneliness and that you would provide us with people in our lives who we can share our life with. And Lord, in addition to that, I pray for strength to be vulnerable. It can be hard to share our lives with other people. So I pray, Lord God, that you would fill us with strength so that as we step out, you would bless that step that we're taking. Right now, if you haven't asked Jesus into your life before, I want you to just close your eyes and just quietly in your own mind, you can ask God to come and be the Savior of your life. It's as simple as just saying, Lord, I want to belong to you from now on. Forgive me for those things in my past that I have done. Lord, would you come and be the center of my life? Lord, I pray today that as we lift up all these needs to you, that we would be encouraged, that we would know that you have the perfect plan and that you hear every word that we have spoken, every deep desire of our heart that we have, that you know it and you know us intimately through and through. And Lord, I thank you that we have a God who hears us, who loves us, and who chooses us. And Lord, we ask all of this in your mighty name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our Heart Online event. It's been so wonderful to share this time with you. Now, also before you go, there's a couple of things I'd like to let you know about. The first thing is we have our Impactors Online Faith Community. Now, we meet every week, and that's something that you can be a part of as well. And it's not just for women, but for men as well. So you can invite anyone to be a part of that. If today has encouraged you, then we have that runs every single week that it can encourage you in your faith. If you've really enjoyed Heart today, then we encourage you to visit the website and you can subscribe and you can receive our blogs and our podcast as well, which you can tune into, and you can get this in your back pocket every single day. I pray that this event has blessed you. I pray that you've had a great time. It's been great to have you, and I look forward to seeing you at our next event.